You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the Repack. I'm joined after a 30-28 win topped off by a 51-yard field goal by Evan Tex Western. Say what's up to people, Tex.
Holy crap, man. That was a journey. That was a journey tonight.
How nervous were you for that field goal? Because I was, expectations wise, right, that the 51-yard field goal was going in. I had like a 30% chance of like confidence, basically.
Now, like if we're doing vibe check, I was at like an 8. Honestly, I Mason has been so money for the last like 3-4 years that I was feeling real good with him lining up, especially when they called the timeout before letting him like attempt a first attempt at the field goal, and not really icing him before he got a chance to get that first kickoff. Once that was the case, I'm like, yep, I feel good. I think he's got it. So, dude, he's been so clutch the last couple of years. It's been fun to watch him, you know, really come into his prime in his late 30s.
Yeah, and he hit one earlier in the game, stopped a touchdown from happening on kickoff.
Yeah. Talk about this is a hell of a Mason Crosby game. This is one that's going to go into the books for him because, yeah, he bails out the offense after just a disastrous sequence in that first drive. They get down in the red zone. You get a face mask on Yosh Nyman, your third string left tackle. And then you get some weird play calling that leads to a 54-yard field goal and bails you out with 3 points there to at least get some points on the board on that first series. And, yeah, 3-for-3 on field goals that – touchdown saving tackle, and I mean, and ends up still being a touchdown anyway, but yeah, great Mason Crosby game. You can't ask for more from a 37-year-old kicker.
This was a weird game or a weird week for kickers in general in the NFL. We got the record breaker, Baltimore Detroit, Tucker by no surprise to anyone was the guy to finally break it. And then we got a kick six in Jacksonville Cardinals, which like that hardly ever happens. I can't remember. I mean, I'm thinking of kick sixes off the top of my head. Alabama Auburn happened.
That's the big one, right? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Those are the only two that I can remember like happening.
God.
And it was like a 60-yard field goal or something that they were trying. Just absurd. Absurd.
Crazy.
But back to the Packers. All right. We got some news that happened, you know, early on in the day that Kevin King is out for an illness. He didn't play in the game, which meant that Eric Stokes started, and he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I think King being out was a little bit of an addition by subtraction, and I think most Packers fans would have expected that being the case going into the game. But I think you mentioned it earlier that with Stokes on the left side or on the right side, that meant that they actually had to target Jaire Alexander a little bit on the other side of the field because you didn't just have freebies up the left sideline on basically every play.
Yeah, no, I really do like what I saw out of Stokes. And
yeah,
the fact that, I mean, hey, man, it's been a couple years since you could go into a Packers game and not have to worry about a cornerback. Jaire gave up a couple, but, I mean, they were kind of like contested balls to Ayuk and to Debo, yep. And like Debo's going to out-wrestle a lot of corners for those type of balls anyway.
Yep. That third down play, the 3rd and 10 on that last drive on the one that gave the Niners the touchdown. I mean, Jaire was all over him. He had his hand in the play, in with the ball, and Debo still managed to come down with that catch. You can't ask any more from your corner than that. So, but yeah, having a guy who actually sticks with receivers on the other side is going to be huge for this defense.
Yeah, and I didn't pay super close attention to kind of how the secondary responded to Stokes starting in terms of like what type of personnel packages and stuff that they were using. I was kind of more watching this game than like analyzing the structure because I felt like I'd been doing 3 weeks of that already, plus the preseason. Chandon was out there for sure. Mm-hmm. And then it seemed, I mean, they must have dabbled in the three safety looks.
Yep.
Because I know at the end of the game, you know, Henry Black was on the field. So
yeah, and they were sprinkling him in a little bit early in the game too. I noticed 41 out there a little bit, even in the first half, playing a couple of snaps here and there. I mean, again, he was sticky. He was actually sticking with his guys. The Jair pick was, first of all, an amazing play by Jair to close on that ball, track it, and bring it in. But Stokes was right in the hip pocket for George Kittle there. And if that's King, I mean, that's 3-4 yards of separation probably that Kittle has.
Oh, he would have misjudged the ball. He would have been on the ground by the time Kittle got the ball in his hand. That wouldn't have been good. I mean, it'll be interesting. I mean, we saw it last week. It seems like they're using Stokes more and more. And, you know, if not being on the field just gives the coaching staff another excuse to kind of phase you out, you know? So,
yep.
I guess we'll see what happens. You know, this being a Sunday night game, I don't know if that even plays. You know, they talked about in the press conference, you know, they're not going to get back until like 5 a.m. But I don't know how much that plays into, like, do we count this as like a short week or is it like a normal week? I don't know how that impacts with, you know, Kevin King obviously has an illness. We don't know when he's going to come back. All sorts of stuff in the air right now. Defensively, I don't think that their defensive line necessarily played better. The Packers defensive line played better than we expected, but Dean Lowry sure beat up on, what's his name? Brunskill, the right guard for the Niners. That's probably the worst offensive lineman that the Packers have seen this season, and they let the Niners know it. I mean, all the blitzes, everything, it was all sent at him. As soon as the Packers were up, when they needed plays, everything was going across Brunskill's faces, and they try to make him keep the pocket alive, basically.
Yeah, definitely found the matchup that they liked. Lowry finally flashed a little bit in this game after basically being a no-show for two whole games. But can we talk about Kenny Clark a little bit?
We sure can.
Let's just send Alex Mack back into retirement, because that very first play, I think, he threw Alex Mack, the Niners center, back about 3 or 4 yards, basically right into Jimmy G's lap, and ended up, you know, forcing a Preston Smith tackle for loss in the run game. Kenny was a beast, and they initially gave him credit for a sack on the Jimmy G fumble backwards pass thing. I think it ended up, I was joking with Paul and Noonan that it ended up being a team sack, kind of like the one last week with the unforced fumble. But yeah, Kenny had a big day, and that's, I feel like that's going to be the way this defensive line goes. As Kenny goes, the rest of this group is going to go.
At inside linebacker, Barnes went down and Summers came on, and you could feel Summers on the field, and not in a good way. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, he could just like look in the flat and Summers would just be like frozen. And then it's just like the slant is going right across your face, bud.
Yep. Not good getting him out in coverage. I did notice when they were in obvious passing situations, they pulled him off for Oren Burks instead. Mm-hmm. Probably a good call with his background and general athleticism. No more 44 if we can avoid it. I agree.
There was a play on special teams where the return man cuts across his face and then Summers like throws his hands out. Like he's on the cross, but he's like looking back, like, how did that just happen? And I'm like, hey, you have to make an open field tackle right now. Don't look to the sideline. Don't throw your hands up. What are you doing? You're an NFL linebacker. I know
he's got T-Rex arms, but come on, at some point. Yeah. You got to recognize that there's not much contribution coming there.
Just a couple other thoughts on the defensive side. You know, they came out of the half, and this is one thing that really frustrated me and kind of frustrates me as we watch these games, is how much the backup outside linebackers are getting in the rotation, especially early on. The Packers came out of the half, and they used those guys before the Niners hit the 50-yard line. That's entirely too early, because you're not getting anything out of was it 47 and 52?
53, Garvin, yeah.
53 is Garvin, yeah.
Yep.
No. But you're not getting anything out of those guys, mm-mm, frankly. Like, you should be using them to give your starters breathers, you know? And coming out of the half, first drive, before they even cross the 50-yard line, that's entirely too conservative for me.
I don't know. Maybe they got all excited about Garvin forcing that interception last week against Jared Goff or something, and wanted to reward him with a little bit of playing time or something. But no. And honestly, I thought that, I mean, to your point, the Niners offensive line, especially on the right side, not super good. But I think we actually finally saw a little bit of pass rush, and Joe Barry got a little aggressive at times. You finally saw Oren Burks get on the field and blitz a little bit from the inside. So that was nice.
I think he got called for a roughing the passer, right?
I think Jair got the roughing the passer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was Jair.
I think Burks actually drew a hold at one point. Or if he didn't, he should have. But at least he should at least go down with a hurry in this game for one or two blitzes he had. But so that was nice to see him on the field. And yeah, it seemed like just in general, the four-man rushes were working better than they had in the first two games. And it did seem like Barry was dialing up the pressure a little more than he had, hopefully without LaFleur telling him that he needed to do it.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting, just one last thing on the defense before we talk about the offense. I thought it was interesting that Collinsworth was bringing up that, like, Kenny was playing more like three tech, basically, than like nose tackle early on in the game. And I know for a fact, like, I know people who work at PFF and stuff, like, I know they're kind of like in his ear during the game. So I wonder if that's something that they kind of relayed to him, that, like, hey, this guy's moving around positions. It'll be interesting to watch on rewatch, because, like, again, like I said, again, I wasn't paying close enough attention to be able to identify that. I was just kind of like watching the game tonight. But on the offensive side, Nyman at left tackle, Runyon again at left guard. I mean, what, none of had any of the, you know, left tackle, left guard, center, right guard, had any of them started an NFL game before this season? The only guy who would have had a chance was Runyon, right?
Yeah, he played. I mean, he played significant snaps last year, but he never actually started a game. He just came in and as an injury sub a couple times. I mean, I loved Nyman as a UDFA signing, as a projection guy. I mean, he's an incredible athlete. I mean, his testing was off the charts coming out of Virginia Tech, but he surpassed after that first drive when, again, that face mask and a couple of blown blocks early on. After that first drive, he surpassed my expectations by far, especially going up against a guy like Bosa. The fact that sure, you're going to chip him, you're going to send some extra blockers to give your young left tackle a little bit of help, but he held up really well, and you really didn't hear his name very much after, you know, the first series or two on offense.
Yeah, and I think one of the things with Nyman too is they talked about it in the press conference where, you know, they talk about his feet a lot and how good his feet are, but for as long as he is, he plays pretty light in that, like, you can kind of like run through his face a little bit, but it seemed like Rodgers knew how to adapt to that a little bit in that, like, there were a couple times where, like, Bosa for sure beat Nyman, like, whatever Nyman was asked to do in the playbook, he was not able to do. But you know, if he gets beat inside by Bosa, then he just drives him inside, and then Rodgers just bails out. And he knew that, like, that was kind of the game plan. Like, Bosa's going to try to cross your face. Yep. If he crosses your face, I just got to flee to the left. And a lot of quarterbacks can't do that, but, you know, Rodgers can. So,
yeah, there's got to be some sort of interplay there between quarterback and tackle, right? That you know, if you're going to get beat a certain way, that you need to respond a certain way. And to your point, drive him inside, or, you know, drive him really deep and let your quarterback step up in the pocket. And it definitely seemed like they were able to do that with Bosa. And can we point out to the block that Tonyan had on Bosa in the second quarter?
Just clocked him. Just clocked him.
Oh, that was beautiful. Just gorgeous to watch. Just a complete leveling. So that was fun. And it really didn't seem like Bosa did anything after that point in that game. So that was fun. That was a good one.
Yeah, and I think you pointed it out. Like, maybe Bosa was a little different after that. And I know Green Bay was using, you know, Tonyan and the I mean, really all the tight ends in that kind of like you're not in line, but like you're just outside of the defensive end, basically alignment,
right?
Which is how they cracked Bosa that first time. I know Lewis and Bosa, there's some good reps out there. I know I caught a couple of them just watching TV, just casually watching the game, but Lewis and Bosa were going at it. I mean, they knew that they had to go at Bosa every single play. You had to bring your A game, it seemed like. Offensively, what else is there to talk about? Someone sent me a tweet and said, talk about like their goal line passing game. Cause they had that like weird little dump off pass off of motion that like they had. It was similar to the one that they scored on the Rams where like Jalen Ramsey threw his hands up and was freaking out.
That was exactly what I thought of when on that Adams touchdown too. Same sort of thing. Kind of that fake that motion back to the inside and then push Adams back to towards the sideline, right at the snap and get it to him out quick.
Right. The goal line stuff is goal line passing is a little different than like even red zone passing. Cause the problem with red zone, right? Once you get into the red zone, the back line of the end zone becomes an extra defender, right? So they don't need to, for example, like deep passing games, like posts, right? Posts, corners, those things become much harder to throw when there's a cap on depth, basically. The closer you inch to it and you get closer to the goal line, the less it becomes effective to even use safeties, especially in the middle of the field. So a lot of teams play like weird combo coverages, and I'm sure to a certain extent, and I actually kind of wonder how much of this comes down to like LaFleur knowing what McVay and Shanahan kind of want to run into that area, because I don't think it's surprising that it's coming against those teams where you see those like walk-in touchdowns. But if they're running like specific types of like combo coverages that they know that they can beat with like a weird funky motion, I think that might be a little bit what's in play there. Like there's, if you Google like, what do they call it? Like red two, it's like red for like red zone, red two coverage. It's like, it takes you like 4 years to understand how like NFL teams play at the goal line, basically in the passing game. It's really difficult stuff. I mean, you can't even really play man down there because then you get pick plays and then it's a wide open touchdown, you know? So yeah, it's a headache for everyone, you know, defensively, offensively. It just seems like whenever LaFleur goes against someone that he knows, he somehow knows how to throw these wide open touchdown passes, and they do feel very cheap. I like that they still count as touchdown passes. I don't care. My quarterback threw them. My team scored them. I don't care.
Oh yeah, the Aaron Jones little pop pass last week on Monday night, you know, still goes down as a touchdown pass in the box score. What the hell?
Yeah. Speaking of stuff at the goal line, Rodgers, he threw a covered corner route and made it. And I don't know why he threw it. I don't know if he thought he could complete that one or if he just like had a shot at it, but that's from my vantage point, that seemed like a bad decision that went very good.
Yep. Yeah, that was a hell of a throw and a hell of a catch by MVS. But I can't help thinking they'll look at that one in the film room and think, okay, what were you doing here? What were you thinking that this was the right throw on this play? I'd love to see the all 22 and see if anybody else is open on that play. But it sure looked like Rodgers was dialed in on MVS running that corner route.
Just that might be one of the most insane Rodgers throws. Oh. And there's a lot of them. But in terms of like throwing someone open when they weren't open, I mean, that's real high up there.
And I think that's another one of those plays that shows MVS's growth as a receiver, right? To make that tough catch, you know, in the corner of the end zone, that's a great play by him to be able to haul that in.
Yeah, it really does seem like Rodgers trusts him more, right? Yep. Like even when things aren't necessarily going right, he's still going at him. Like last week, you know, he had the four targets. None of them were really great, but none of them were his fault either, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
So,
well, and he hit him on the big play, I think on the second drive after hitting Lazard on the deep shot on the first drive. Finally actually clicking with those guys a little bit on some big plays was nice to see early in the game, with the offense starting to get into a rhythm. I think you mentioned that the 49ers were lining up in cover one and just stuck in that coverage, and Rodgers is going to eat if you, you know, if you don't try to mix up coverages on him, right?
Yeah, 100%. Or they started the game kind of in like the two high structure stuff, which is why you saw them running the ball and checking it down a lot early on. But by the end, I mean, the reason why they were throwing Devontae up the sideline and stuff so often was because he was one-on-one. And the whole their whole approach is like Rodgers can throw a ball so accurately to a spot on the field that the wide receiver can make an adjustment to it better than the defensive player can make a play on the ball without getting DPI, right? I mean, that's kind of the math that they're doing in terms of those shot plays up the sideline.
Yep. Well, yeah, we had three DPI calls on San Francisco in this game. And then the one in that last drive, the 25-yarder, the first big play to get to midfield, Rodgers just putting it in the bucket over Fred Warner's fingertips to Adams.
Amazing.
Oh, man. That's, I mean, it's not the ear hole shot in the Super Bowl, but it's not that far off, right? Like that's a tight ass window to fit that ball into. That one, the Tanyan play last week, like it's his accuracy has not lost a beat when he's in rhythm and his mechanics are good and he's locked in, man. It's still just as fun to watch as it ever has been.
People thought he was throwing games like 14 days ago. That's insane to think about. People legitimately believe that. They're like, yeah, he's losing games so he can get out of there. It was a funky game plan, guys. Week one, just throw it out. Yep. Throw it out the books. All right, let's take a break, and then we'll go into the vibe scores.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on, and there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
And we're back. Tex, let's start it out with the offense. Rank the score the vibe out of 10. How are you feeling about the offense at this point?
So after this game, the way that things finished up, Rodgers clicking at the end, I'm going to be like an 8, like a solid 8. I know they kind of had a little bit of iffiness in the second half. LaFleur kind of said something about like getting out of his play calling on that three and out in the fourth quarter that led to the 49ers getting the ball back and taking the lead late in the game. But you know, Rodgers playing the way he did, the offensive line without Jenkins, without Bakhtiari, actually moving a good defensive line. I feel good. I feel good after this.
Yeah, I think the offense shot themselves in the foot a couple times. And if you were able to move the ball like this against a great defensive line with basically four rookie offensive linemen in terms of like on-field experience in, at the NFL level, I'm giving it a 9. And it's just off of the health of the wide receivers, because I know Devontae took a shot. He said, you know, he's going to be fine. He's going to play next week. And then MVS, I know, was limping off the field. I don't know if we ever heard an update on that.
I think he came back on the field for the very last throw that set up the field goal. I think he was out there.
He was trying to fight to get off the sideline on that.
I think Rodgers said in his post-gamer that they actually had him on the field and they were trying to set up a possible deep shot if the underneath wasn't there to Adams to get MVS deep. So I think he actually made it back on for one last play.
That's good then.
Yeah.
Nine and a half.
Nice. Well, and I mean, the offensive line, you didn't hear Billy Turner's name once. You didn't hear Billy Turner's name. You didn't hear Dee Ford's name. You barely heard Eric Armstead's name. Center to the right side of the offensive line had a hell of a night tonight.
Yeah. They needed this game for Green Bay to come out with that win. And they did it in the run game too. I mean, when they had the AJ Dillon in there and they were like, we need to pound the rock right now so we can get San Francisco out of too high. I mean, they were teeing off. So tons of credit to the offensive line. I think it's only going to get better up front. I mean, it'd be hard to see how it would get worse unless, you know, Jenkins and Bakker out for a longer period of time than we even expect right now. Yeah. So I think the arrow's only going up.
And Adam Stenovich, man, the job he's done coming in as the offensive line coach, amazing. Picking on Nyman to be the guy he wanted to start at left tackle. Rodgers even kind of joked in his presser that he was a little skeptical of that being the pick, but rolled with it. And yeah, man, he stepped up and had a great game. And Steno is, I could see him being a future, you know, offensive coordinator, maybe even a head coach down the line, 10, 15 years down from now.
We'll see. The thing about offensive line coaches is, one, they get paid more than the other positional coaches for the most part, outside of like quarterback and like maybe defensive back coaches. The other thing too is everyone wants the flashy play callers, which isn't necessarily what O-line coaches are. Plus, like, good O-line coaches, you're never out of work. Like, you could just someone will hire you. That's one of the good things about being an O-line coach versus being like a QB guru type of guy. I'm trying to think of offensively anything else that I wanted to touch. The fact that they called it a 4th-and-1, but it was more like a 4th-and-2. It was longer than they were given credit for. But the fact that they didn't go for that one, you know, when they knew that they were in a game, and at some point you're probably going to need to steal a possession. Mm-hmm. That probably wasn't great. That's my half point deduction from being 10 out of 10 was just that decision right there.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to, all right, defense, 5 score. What you got?
I'm sitting at like a 5. I'm pleased with the pass rush. They actually started winning some matchups up front, and that I think is going to go a huge way. You know, no, I'm already talking myself up to like a 6.5. What am I talking about? the fact that you got a pass rush, the fact that Stokes was out there and actually playing well on the outside. I'm already feeling better about this.
I'm happy with the defense and how it's evolving. I know Lowry had an easier matchup than he usually has, but that was nice out of him today. Sure, appreciate it. Kenny Clark looks like he had a better game than he had the first 2 weeks of the season. Preston, especially as like an edge setter, I mean, he's just showing up every week, man.
Yeah.
He's having a good season. Campbell is, I joked about it with Matub, but like, is he our best inside linebacker since Des Bishop? Like,
oh my gosh, might be
an actual take that is factual.
Yeah, I mean, another double-digit tackle game. I mean, he was in on another turnover play. He made a couple of great open field tackles in the flat.
He can play maybe it's not sideline to sideline, but he can play like numbers to numbers, you know? And the fact that you can get a linebacker to do that. I mean, just compare him to like what they got in Summers, you know, like Campbell makes a tremendous difference on that defense. The fact that they can just kind of hang their hat on that guy.
And the fact that they got him for $2 million this year and they signed him in what, May, like the middle of May to come in basically off the street and, you know, show up for OTAs and try to earn a job, man. That's a great move by Goody. And yeah, he's looked really solid these last two games.
I just need Summers to not be there. I can't do Summers starting. That's not something I can sign up for. That's too much of a roller coaster for me. I can't do it. We can't get rid of King and then add Summers in. Give me something else. Give me Burks. Yeah. Do it. Give me McDuffie. Something.
Well, you know, Burks has the range. He's got the speed. You can send him on the blitzes once in a while. So I'm with you.
Gary just cannot play contain.
Ugh.
They got him again. Yeah.
The Trey Lance play, right?
Yep. There was a penalty on it, so it didn't end up mattering, I think. But I mean, Gary Trey Lance could have walked in for a touchdown because Gary just didn't play contain at all.
Mm-hmm. And Gary, with a guy who tested as well as he did, I mean, that's Lance is a ridiculous athlete too. So I guess I shouldn't be surprised that Lance beat him to the edge when he didn't have contain. But that was a little frustrating to see a guy with his athletic pedigree not be able to maintain that edge there.
Well, he's kind of like stiff, right? In that he's like linear explosive, but not like.
Well, his bull rush is his best move, right?
Right, exactly. Like he's going through your face. His job isn't to turn. Yep. You know, once you get him turning, you can start to beat Rashawn Gary a little bit.
And that's why he always gets deep in the pocket and trying to come back to the quarterback. If you don't have the interior pressure, he's not going to be a terribly effective pass rusher because the quarterback can just step up in the pocket and deliver a football. So,
right. Last thing about the defense. Now that we're talking it out, I think I'm going to give it a score. Let's give it 6 out of 10. And if Summers isn't playing starting next week, it's 7 out of 10. I'm content with that being my range. The fact that they couldn't get Kittle or Juszczyk on the ground that last drive was very frustrating. Because that could have cost them the game. I mean, the fact that they can get those two guys on the ground could have cost them the game.
Yeah. The irony, though, is the fact that Juszczyk scored when he did. If they stop him at the goal line, I have no faith in the run defense to stop, you know, a half yard, especially the Shanahan run offense, from, you know, getting a half a yard with 10 seconds left. And they're running the clock down at that point. So the fact that he scored when he did and left 37 seconds on the clock for Rodgers was probably a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, I think I couldn't tell if LaFleur was joking or not, but they asked him, you know, in the presser, they said, how long did you need? And he was like 35 seconds.
Yep.
And, you know, they got 37. So, you know, maybe a couple seconds does change a couple things, you know? I mean, they didn't have... I mean, think about when that clock was winding down to spike it. It's not like they had a ton of seconds to give there anyway.
And they burned all their timeouts because of, you know, coming up to the line of scrimmage with 5 seconds left on the play clock again. And I think that was all 3 second-half timeouts they burned that way. So, having every second left, I mean, I think they snapped the field goal with 3 seconds left on the clock. Not a whole lot of wiggle room there.
Nope. Before we get into the special teams vibes, let's do ref vibes. Ref vibes -20. What are you guys doing?
Oh, Jerome Boger, why do you still have a job? How do you still have a job?
Matub posted in the APC Slack that his son was actually cut by the Packers. So that's my favorite new conspiracy theory. But like Devontae, okay, one, this isn't even necessarily the refs because they talked about it after the game, and Devontae said, you know, It was a chest issue, so I guess there's some gray area into like if it was helmet or chest. NBC, what there was not gray area for was you zooming into Devontae Adams, what looked to be Devontae Adams' lifeless face for like 20 seconds. Gosh. I didn't need that.
Nope.
I didn't need that.
No, thank you. Yikes. Well, I mean, you got that play. You've got the Mohamed Sanu. The ball is pretty clearly, as far as I was concerned, moving after it hit the ground play.
Yeah, that was weird. And then they had the rules analyst on, and he was like, yeah, I think that's going to stand. And I was like, I don't get what we're doing here anymore then.
Yep.
Because that to me, well, I mean, that ball hits the ground before it's caught. So,
yeah. You got that one. You've got the Jair roughing the passer penalty where he kind of hits Jimmy in the shoulder pads, doesn't take him to the ground, doesn't hit him in the head, doesn't like put his body weight into him, but somehow still gets called for roughing the passer. So that was a fun one. Man,
they got to change that rule, right? The quarterback has to hit the ground if you're going to rough him.
I would think so. Yeah,
I feel like that's very fair. Like if you tap the guy and he doesn't hit the ground, like if the quarterback wants to sell it, fine. I'm okay with that. But you can't get roughing and not even knock the guy to the ground. Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
That's two very bad roughing the passer penalties against the Packers in 3 weeks. So good stuff there. Yeah, there were some interesting pass interference penalties that went both ways in that one. I think there was one on Stokes that was maybe a little iffy. There was, the Packers got three of them. I think at least two of them on third downs that definitely helped keep drives alive. So they were not going to put up with a whole lot of contact in the secondary in this game. But yeah, a couple of those, at least they got the Jimmy G fumble right. And they realized that was a backwards pass. Thank God for that.
Thank God for Jimmy. Jimmy was pointing to that ball mid-play, and then he was like, no, it was a pass. You liar. You freaking liar.
But it lands at his back foot. So, no, there's no possible way physically that can be a forwards pass if you drop it and it lands at your back heel.
No.
Not going to work.
There's no way. Nope. Someone joked today with me that Aaron Rodgers plays like he's the only person who hates referees more than I do. Just the way he's just like, he's purposely trying to get DPIs. He's on your shit all the time about 12 men on the field. He's doing hard counts, like all of it. And I love it. I love it.
Yes.
Take what you can get, man.
Yeah, that's
gamesmanship, baby.
Play the game. Just play the game.
If we're going to have rules, we got to enforce them. All right.
Exactly.
Special teams vibes. You know, Mason obviously had a great game. The kick return going long wasn't great. Bajorquez. Still has a boot. Can still confirm. Yep. Still has a boot. So I'm going to go with like 8, but it's a light 8 because I'm just still always worried about coverage on returns. Yep.
I was going to say hard 7 for the same reason that you know what you've got in Mason. You got a steady guy who's going to convert in the clutch. Loving Bajorquez, that 50 yarder that he put out of bounds. Like what, the 13 yard line or something. And
he can like pin him too. It's not just the boot. He can he's angling him. It's fun.
And even the ones that did land in bounds were right up against the sideline. So I'm just further confirming my existing bias that this was the right move to pull him out of LA in place of JK Scott there. But yeah, it's nothing is more Packers special teams than giving a big return right after a huge score in a critical part of the game. And, you know, that leading to basically the score that gets the 49ers back in the game, right? At the end of the first half.
Yeah.
Trenton Cannon's got some wheels. I'll give him that. And thank God.
He couldn't outjuke Mason though.
Nope.
He couldn't outjuke Mason.
Yeah. Dude, Mace has made a few of those tackles in his career though. I don't know that there are a whole lot of good tackling kickers, but he's got a good feel for using the sideline as his extra defender. So I'll give him credit for that one.
Savvy vet. Savvy vet.
Silver team, Fox.
Team vibes out of 10. Let's go. I thought about tweeting 1 seed ? At the end of the game. So I'm like full blown at least 8 out of 10 at this point. We're only going to get healthier. Zadarius is out. Elton Jenkins is out. Bach was out. We'll see with King. We'll see he's going to
hard
be
hard 8. Hard 8.
There we go.
Absolutely.
Let's go. 1 seed.
This game on the road in a place that has been a house of horrors for this team, for Matt LaFleur. to come out with to gut out a win like this is huge. And yeah, to see Roger's face in the postgame presser talking about how much fun the flight home is going to be tonight, that was worth all of the heartache in the third and fourth quarters tonight.
Oh, and he called us all out too. He was like, "Hey, I know some of you didn't pick us this week, but
I'm raising my hand right now. I picked the Niners. I
did too. I'm sorry. I picked it on the Friday pod. I said one score Niners, but
I'm sorry, Aaron.
We were almost right. I mean, it came down to a 51-yard field goal. Aaron, please, please. if you want us to stop picking against you, you could just blow these teams out every once in a while.
Right. Well, and I mean, we had that going for 29 minutes, and then everything changed, and pulled it out. I will take it. I'm enjoying a nice smooth scotch in Aaron Rodgers' honor for his performance in those last 37 seconds tonight.
I know Matub is knee deep in bourbon right now too.
Yeah, we're gonna have to get some hashtag whiskey content going soon between him and me. So
let's get it done. I'm sure. Yeah, we can find a sponsor. We can find people to give us free stuff to say nice things about them.
Hell yeah!
In audio format.
Let's call up Chuck. Yeah, Chuck's got the bourbon out there. Let's see what he can do.
Get it done. Yep. Last thing going into the Steelers game. Vibes going into the Steelers game out of 10. I'm like 10. I saw Ben Roethlisberger. Yep. It was 4th and 10 in the red zone, down 2 scores, and he immediately dumped it down to the running back on a swing route. So. From my perspective, Ben Roethlisberger's already retired.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me a very hard 9 coming back home, little home field advantage, coming off the emotional lift off of this win. You know, you've got a solid AFC team coming in. I feel good. I like the Packers here in week 4.
All right, guys. That's it for the week 3 repack. Do you have anything to plug, Tex? Tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, get me at Tex Western on Instagram and Twitter. The usual. Find us at acmepackingcompany.com. All the good stuff. I'll have snap counts up tomorrow, so we'll see what goes on there. So I'll be curious to see how many snaps Henry Black played in those 3 safety packages.
Oh, you went Henry Black. I went Heflin immediately. I was like, "Hey, was Heflin out there?"
I don't remember seeing him out there, but I know I saw 41. So I'll be curious to see how many of those 3 safety snaps they played.
Yeah, I might have to dip the ink and do a 3 safety thing. If he was playing a decent amount, because I know they haven't tapped into that. And Vernon Scott.
One of these days, Vernon Scott will be active someday.
One day, I thought it was going to be this week, but I guess not. That hamstring, man, soft tissues. Hammies. Not great. Yeesh. All right, take care, Tex.
Take it easy.
Claude 3 from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point of the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skill and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who use Anthropic to navigate this new frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, today. Jumpstart your genius with Claude 3 by Anthropic.
Support for this show comes from Vanta. Dealing with loads of spreadsheets, juggling different tools, and having to do manual security checks, it can be a headache to keep up with today's compliance and security programs. Vanta is the trust management platform that wants to simplify things and bring all your trust-building efforts under one roof, making growth smoother for your whole organization. Vanta lets you automate up to 90% of compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, HIPAA, and more. Strengthen security posture and reduce third-party risk. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/vox. That's VANTA.com/vox for $1,000 off Vanta.